Okay, I'm ready. Hi, friends. I had to get my phone. We do know what would Leo do this week. A lot of you guys wrote in for advice to ask what I would do in your situation. We got so many things to go through. Some of you, I'm going to hit over the head with a crowbar. You need it. But it's okay. I love you. I'm going to give you the harsh advice and the shit you need to hear because I love you really bad. But me, this week, anxious wreck, nervous wreck, freaking out. I've been so excited, but like, nervous and working a lot on the pop-up store. I'm doing my pop-up store next week. We're officially 1 week away, March 28th and 29th in Houston. I'm doing a pop-up store for the merch and the sunglasses, and there's going to be a meet and greet, whole thing. I've been talking about it, and as the date has been getting closer, I'm just like, I don't know what to do with myself. Like, I can only do so much and work so much. It's like, I just got to chill out. I'm half excited, half just nervous. So we're going to talk about you this week, okay? I usually don't pick these before I start. I kind of just swipe through them. And this is why. The first one I click on says, "Hey, Leo, so my boyfriend I've dated for 3 years cheated on me with his cousin. He said he's sorry, but I can't get it out of my head. Should I break up with him or should I stay with him?" Hello! Do you have two brain cells to rub together? Leave him. His cousin. He's circling and furking with the cousin. Are you kidding me? And you over here, I can't get it out of my head. No shit, babe. Like, that's not something you should just get out of your head if the person you're dating sleeps around with their cousin. What are we talking about? My God. Did you really need me to say it? I feel like you knew better. I hope you knew better. But what? Right. This is why I gotta start picking them before I start recording. Oh, this one's gonna irritate the shit out of me. Someone said, "You think 19 and 32 work? I think I might actually like him. I'm 19. Okay, I'm about to rant a minute for the age gap thing with relationships. I'm 28 years old. There is not a chance in any hell I would date someone even 25. There's people that are 28 dating 21, 22 year olds. What the fuck is knocked loose in your brain? Genuinely. These people are children. Like, anybody under 25, you're a kid. Like, what the hell are you doing? 32, trying to go for a 19-year-old. I'm not mad at you, because when you're young, when you're the 19-year-old, it's like the idea of someone older is kind of fun. You don't know better yet. That's the thing. It's very predatory and weird for the older side. Like, when I was 19, it was fun. When I was, like, hanging out with and, like, doing my thing with people that were older, it was exciting for me. But as I've gotten older, I see it as so strange. And I'm only 28. I was 20 fucking around with people that were mid-30s, 40. When you're young, it's like, okay, it's kind of exciting in a way. I get that. I understand why you're into it. But I want to make you aware of the opposite perspective. They're up to something. They know that you don't know as much as they do. And people who are older like that, going after 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds, even like 32 and 25. I'm 28 and I wouldn't even date nobody 25. You're a child. Like, it's just that warped perception I can't get over. I can't handle it. I don't like it. I think once you're over 30, if you're like 30 dating a 45-year-old, who gives a shit? But like, once you're 30, I feel like you're grown and you kind of know enough to date up. It's like if you see someone that's 50 and they got money, they with someone that's 30, okay, fine. It feels like a fair game. If you got somebody that's 40 or 50 with someone who's 20, that's not a fair game. I don't fault you in this situation. This person's fucking weird. 32 years old going after a 19-year-old. In what world? Genuinely, I do not understand that. And that's not something I'll ever change my mind about, because the older I get, I could not fathom dating a 19-year-old, and I'm 28. I'm very old school and old fashioned in a lot of my beliefs, but the age gap thing, no. I don't know why I can't let this go. I want to move on to the next one, but I want to keep yelling about this. It's like, how do I want to explain the mental framework of it? Because I'm 28 years old. I feel like I'm mentally like 50, 60 fucking years old. I feel like I've lived this life too many times. I don't want to come back here when I die in this life, okay? I'm not doing the reincarnation again. I know this is not my first rodeo. And no, I'm not getting back on the bull. I don't want to be reincarnated. Sick of it. This shit is ghetto. Kind of like the protector side of me is coming out for you a little bit, because I remember what it was like being 19. And when I was 21, I got involved with somebody who was 40, 41, whatever the hell he was. They're taking advantage of your mindset being as fresh and as young as it is, because you are not able to recognize to even be able to escape certain dynamics. They can trap you in shit. They can manipulate you without you knowing. They can control you in a lot of ways where you don't know. I was very smart for my age at 21. Street smart, book smart, all of it. I still got played in certain aspects because there are certain things that you cannot learn until you're older. And for the relationships where there's people who are like 18 and they're with someone who's like 35, 38, 40 sometimes, you might see from the outside how it looks. It might look great, but this person got groomed. If you're 18 years old with someone over 30, you got groomed. They taught you how to be. So this 18-year-old is going to grow up and their relationship might look nice, but they were taught how to be in that relationship. They were taught how to be in general. So it's not like a, oh, love always wins type thing. Have some discernment. They're going to prey on you. This is a predator prey type thing. And I'm like, I want to get right in the middle of it and say, hell no. So babe, leave. For little me and you now, do not make the same mistake I did. Okay, next person said, should I go on a cruise for my wedding anniversary or save the money for a big fancy present? Cruise to the Caribbean or a fancy smoker for the hubby? What do you mean it's a trip or a gift for him? Wedding anniversary gift can be a cruise for you guys to go on together or for your husband to get a smoker. What are you gonna get? Like, he gets a smoker. Okay, you get to eat what he makes off the smoker, but like, that's for him. I don't like that. You need a purse. You need like a nice fancy shoe. $1,000 minimum. You need something nice for yourself too. What the fuck? He's trying to put one over on you. He is. We can go on a cruise. Or babe, we can get a smoker. I'll make you anything you want. No. Don't let him gook you like that. If he wants a smoker, let him get the smoker. But you guys' wedding anniversary gift is not going to be just for him. Also, I've seen Titanic, so I'm very jaded when it comes to the cruises. I'm never going to go on a cruise a day in my life. I've seen the Titanic. I know how it's going to go. This is personally triggering me. Just the thought of going on a fucking cruise. You're never going to catch me dead. Because if I look out and see no land, if I'm in the middle of the ocean, I'm going to hit myself over the head with a rock or a bottle or something, knock myself unconscious and die. I don't like that. I don't want to be in the middle of the water, can't see no land. No. You've seen the Titanic. You hit one little iceberg, and you're going under. No. I've seen also the clips of like the boats like rocking and almost tipping over and shit. But my brain thinks too far ahead. Pisces, overthinker, never putting myself in that position because I'm going to handle that position gracefully. I'm a big man. I'm 6'7". So if we got the little life raft game, like we're playing on Titanic, we all got the little life rafts. I'm going to be there to make sure only women and children get on the life rafts. If there's not enough for everybody, only women and children are going first. And any men who try and hop on, I'm going to grab you and choke you out and dip your head in the water. Make sure you don't get on the life raft. That's for the women and kids. Okay? We could decide about what men get to get on after they're safe and they're good. So if the ship goes down, we got to get on life rafts. My role would be bodyguard to make sure everything goes fair. Okay. And then I'm probably just going to kill myself. I'm not going through that. I'm not sitting there waiting to be rescued, being on a little tiny boat, scared of the sharks. I don't like that. I don't have my gun. I can't shoot them. I'm not going to have a good time. Panic attack. I don't have no cigarettes. We're in the water. I don't want nothing to do with a boat. Because if it goes down, I will handle it correctly, but I have to die, you know? And if you say, okay, there is enough room on the lifeboat for 10 more people, and they're all fathers to all their children that are there, and I'm there by myself like a dick, I'm the size of two men. I'm not going to go take the spot of two fathers. If they're deadbeats, they can get the fuck out of my way. But it's just that moral, like, situation, I'm going to be wanting to, like, make sure everybody else is good. I don't like that. I don't think any of the men should live because I don't want to die. And if I have to die, you do too. That's something you're never going to have to worry about me doing. It's going on a cruise. I'm not stupid. I've seen Titanic. I also have seen the conspiracy theories about how it was a lie and it was intentionally sunk. So, but I still don't trust it. I don't want to be in that position. I've played through it in my head too many times. Nope. Maybe get the smoker. Get a smoker and a nice pair of shoes for yourself. Or if you feel safe going on a cruise, go on the cruise and go have a blast and get the smoker. Tell him to budget it. Figure it out. Oh, here we go with the I got feelings for my friend. Oh, everybody's asking me about this, but I just had a situation where I had to admit my feelings for somebody. Let me just read the person's what would Leo do. Okay. They said, I have feelings for my friend. Do I tell them or do I keep it to myself? It's starting to eat at me. Like, I want to tell them, but I'm so scared to lose the friendship by making it weird. There was at least like 20 of people who were saying, I got feelings for my friend. Do I tell them? How do I tell them? Do I have to tell them? Okay. So let me just tell you what I did. This was like a month and a half ago. I'm friends with this guy and he's straight, but it got like a little bit flirty. And we've been friends for like coming up on a year. And I thought it was like a little bit flirty. Like for my assessment of it, I'm like, I don't know. I couldn't read it. Like I was very like, I don't know. Like what are we doing? Mixed signals? What's going on over here? So I don't like that. I don't like to be confused. I'll call it right out. I'm like, hello, what are we doing? But this is one of the best guy friends I've had in a long time. Like a very like deep spiritual kind of connection thing. I'm like, hey. Like, we enjoy spending time around each other. It's great. I moved to Miami. He moved away. But it's like, we've been meeting up, hanging out, whatever. We still talk. But when we were recently together, hanging out, we were talking about certain things. And he was saying, I love you to me, like, as a friend. And I'm like, he's like, why don't you say that? And I was like, I'm not saying I love you to my straight guy friends. If I'm saying I love you to somebody, it's someone I'm with, partner-wise, or it's my family. I'm not saying that shit to a straight guy. My girlfriends love you, love you, love you, whatever, love you so bad, fine. But like my straight guy friends, I don't say love you to them. What are we talking about? But this guy is exactly my type, to a T. And there was like months and months and months and months ago where I made a podcast and I was talking about like this person and I was like, I met them. Like the soul kind of connection thing. And I thought it was going to be a romantic thing, but it was just a really good friendship. And I was kind of in this spot where I'm like, you're exactly my type. I'm physically attracted to you. We connect on every base mentally and emotionally. I'm like, okay, he's exactly my age. It was so weird, like my exact type. And if you want to say, oh, I'm scared to lose the friendship, I have more to lose, okay? For me to date or me to be interested in somebody in the position that I'm in with social media and everything I do for a living, it's not easy for me to find people. And I don't just meet somebody and then go into dating them. I have to stalk you. I have to be around you. I have to know your past. I have to know your character. I have to know your intentions of why you're around me. It's a very long, drawn out process for me. My dating pool is so small. Couldn't even fit on the tip of a fucking 0.5 pen. But I started to like get feelings for him a little. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna just tell him. Like, I was like, okay, let's just see what happens. Because I was irritated with it. Because I don't like that game you play in your head of like, oh, you're reading into things. Is it this? Is it that? Is it not? Eh. And me being gay and him being straight. And I've known that since we met. But you know how like your brain will start playing into things? You read into certain shit. You're like, do they like me? Do they not? It's like, I don't like that game. So I started getting the itchy feeling of like, I just want to like let it out and tell you. Like, you're not going to sit here and be friends with a fake version of me. A fake version of me entails me hiding how I truly feel. So I'm not going to sit here and let you be friends with a fake me. I'm going to put myself on the table and we're going to see what it is. So I told him, I was like, I started getting feelings for you romantically. And he was nice about it. Very sweet. It didn't weird him out. It wasn't strange. It wasn't weird, but he reassured me that he's straight. So like, but like, I still wanted to just lay it out on the fucking table, you know? And we're still close. It didn't make nothing weird because he reassured me, like, I care about you as a person. It's fine. But I get that hesitation. I get that fear of like, I don't want to make the relationship weird. If they can't handle it, so be it. But also, it gives you closure, especially with me. If a guy is straight, I know my brain will stop thinking that way about them once I know that they're straight. If I have feelings for a guy and you're my friend, whatever the feelings are, I can turn them off. So it's just kind of like that certainty of like, okay, this is no longer a path that is a possibility to go down. The bridge is burned. There's no walking over this bridge. Why are we over here fantasizing about it? It's not going to happen. Like my feelings, I can just turn them off with guys. It's like, okay, I have feelings for you. If there's a chance for it to work, let me give it that chance. I'm just going to communicate it. If it doesn't work, okay. If you lose the friendship, okay. What's the problem? I don't get it. But like, even if you stay friends, for me, I can keep it strict, like just friendship. I only see you as a friend now because I can control my mind. Like, okay, you're just a friend. There is no feeling. There is no like, oh, I have feelings for you. No, they died. The switch has been flipped off. Like, I don't understand the issue, the problem. I'm just someone who likes to operate in reality. And I don't like to sit here and fantasize about, like, oh, what potentially could it be? I don't like that shit. I have to know what I'm dealing with and be able to, like, work around it, you know? But it was really not a big deal at all. I didn't really feel nervous about it. It's just like, okay, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I feel comfortable telling the truth. So it's like, you let it out. And how they react is how they react, but it don't mean shit about you. But my situation went real good. Like, we're still fine. We're still friends, but it's just not a romantic thing. And there's no potential of it going to be that. And we don't make it weird. Like, it's only weird in your head. It's not weird if you don't feel it anymore. Just turn it off. Okay, next person wants to know basically about how to deal with hate, because they see me get a lot of hate on social media and they wonder how I deal with it. So, a new piece of awareness that cracked me recently is a lot of people, when they are like attacking you or hating you, a lot of people are with me personally are reacting to a perceived rejection by me. So if you look at me and the way that I am, my personality, the way that I look, I'm physically fit. I got an attitude. I got a mouth. I tell the truth. I'm very based in reality and I'm very spiritually aware, emotionally strong, all this shit. It's like, there's a certain thing about me that people kind of know if I'm going to like them or not. It's like, if you meet you out in public, some people, you could just tell we're not going to be friends. I would not be friends with you. And a lot of people see that about me. And it's like an intimidation thing. It's like why some people like certain influencers. And I'm like, why the fuck do they like them at all? It's because they're relatable to them. They see them as someone that's not a threat. And they could easily get connection with that person because they're both mediocre. With me, you gotta be a little bit like self-respectable and smart and with it to even not be insecure about, okay, yeah, Leo would like me. I'm a threat to most people, even though I'm not an asshole. Like, I love everybody. Every time someone comes up to meet me, I don't give a fuck what size, shape, color you are. We have fun, we have a key. But that's not what most people see about me. People don't listen to my podcast. You guys know how I am. But most people just see a couple videos of me or people talking shit. And it's like you have this one kind of like idea of how I'm going to be. And it's that perceived subconscious threat of like, I could never get this person's approval or they wouldn't like me. So their brain, to keep them safe, will do anything they can to demonize me and discredit me to not feel that threat. And it's like I'm going to push you away before you even have a chance to push me away, but they're not aware that they do it. A lot of people who hate me don't actually hate me. And a lot of people who hate me only dislike me because they haven't seen me in full context. They've only seen me in little clips and little bullshit and from other people's lenses of like these think pieces people do on me when they're bullshit stupid. I've never seen dumber people talk about somebody in my life. But this is the people I'm talking about. It's like you make this big think piece about me. Girl, what are you doing? You have to try and like get all this justification in your brain of why I'm just a piece of shit. Baby, you just scared because you know I would reject you first. Sorry. I'm not going to be friends with you. I'm not going to like you. I'm not going to value the things that you have to say, and you're not smart. So duh. But I see what's happening. It's like most people, like I said, are reacting to a perceived rejection from me. That's why they attack me and hate me. Because like hate, it is what it is. Like, okay, why you gotta deal with hate? Like, I don't understand people. How do you deal with it? There's nothing to deal with. I don't get it. Like, why I gotta go acknowledge it? Why I gotta, like, let it take time away from me? Like, okay, I'm working on shit. I'm doing things. Having fun with life. Why do I have to do anything with it? It's not gonna stop me from doing what I wanna do. So, what's the problem? What's there to deal with? Nothing. The only time hate bothers me is when people are intentionally trying to fuck with my image, reputation, and money. Like, they want to garner like a hate train against me and flip things out of context and lie. And when they try and push this certain narrative to harm me financially or reputationally, like you try and discredit the character that I have, or you try and do something to impact the way people view me so they no longer support me, manipulative little pieces of shit, I don't like those people. That's when I'll get mad. And it's like, if something gets big enough where people are starting to talk too much for me, I'll get online and correct your stupid fucking asses very quickly. That's one thing I don't like, because people try to like come up with all these think pieces. Oh, Leo Skeppy's secretly this and he's secretly that. I'm not secretly shit, okay? I don't got no hair to hold no secrets in. I'm just out with it, okay? I have no problem speaking for myself at all. That's really it. I don't see it as nothing to deal with until it's a situation that I have to address. You know what I mean? So don't deal with it. Okay, people are going to talk shit. It's what people do. People feel too confident nowadays on social media. It's like everybody got an opinion and nobody's scared to say it no more. I'm like, what happened to that? What happened to the shame? What happened to everybody having social anxiety? Part of that is shutting the fuck up. Why are you I got social anxiety. But you get on TikTok and you yap that stupid fucking mouth. You're not socially anxious on TikTok? You're not anxious for people to see your videos and then see you in real life? Like, people see your videos. People recognize you. Like, when things go viral, they recognize your face. This social anxiety you got, I want to amplify it for you. So you check yourself and the way you conduct yourself on social media. People in real life watch your social media and they recognize you from it. So be careful. Have a little bit of your social anxiety online and shut the fuck up. Okay? I'm looking out for you. Oh, this one's kind of sad. I'm not laughing at you. Love you. About to help you a little, okay? So someone said, I'm having no contact with my parents, and how do I feel wanted? My biological mom chose drugs over me, and my adopted mom doesn't want anything to do with me ever since I'm not a kid anymore. How do I just get over it? I feel like I'm not enough that even my biological mom wanted me or my adopted mom. First thing I want to say is I'm very sorry. If I could kiss you on the forehead, I would. You were born to someone who was not ready to be a mother, and then you were adopted by someone who was never meant to be a mother. Unfortunately, I want to reflect this to you. I don't like the way that they did this to you. I don't like anything about this situation because I know the pain that you live with now of the constant never feeling enough and never feeling chosen, like nothing I could do would make it better. But one thing I want to say about your mom who was addicted to drugs, your biological mom, it is not that your mom chose drugs over you. That is never a situation that comes up. When someone is an addict, they can't choose themselves. It has nothing to do with you. It doesn't matter what you put in front of an addict, they will not choose it. They're biological children. That is the one intrinsic motivation you have, is to protect your child and be there for your child. Your mom chose drugs over that for what? Herself. And it wasn't for herself, it was to escape herself. She couldn't even be in herself, regulate herself, to understand and even feel her priorities. She was so disconnected from her maternal instinct, it wiped out. So she didn't choose drugs over you. She couldn't choose herself. Does that make sense? It has nothing to do with your value, especially with the addict mom. So let me just clear that up for you and take that off of you. Don't ever run around saying, my mom chose drugs over me. No, that is not what's happening with an addict. Don't make that your fault. An addict can't choose themselves, all right? That's number one. Number two, your adopted mom. This is the type of people who get dogs and then give them up for adoption when they're no longer puppies. People like children. People like things they can control. And when people get older, they don't want nothing to do with it. Also, your adoptive mom, I'm sorry to say it, might have been one of these people who goes into the adoptive system, adopts children to get the benefits and the money that they get from the government and any kind of assistance that they get from having an adopted child. So God's probably so disgusted with how they treated you. They're never going to give them a real child. They never should have fucking had one. Because that, I don't understand. I don't know if it was for the benefits that your adopted mom got, or she's just one of these people who wants a child who can dress them up and take care of it. And it's like feel needed. And then once you're an adult, they don't feel needed anymore. So what they adopted you for was their own need, their own selfishness of, I want to feel needed, if this is the scenario. And then when you're of age where you no longer need them and depend on them, they feel useless to you. So you're a mirror that they're useless. They want you out. It has nothing to do with you, nothing to do with your value. Because if you take, when you got adopted by that mom who, for whatever reason, is a fuck up, if you took a woman who truly couldn't have children of her own and wanted a child more desperately than anything in this life, there is nothing about you she would have flipped for. When people have that true maternal instinct, when people are born to be mothers, even if they have to adopt children, people can be born that way. People can have that soul of, I'm meant to be a mother, but you can't biologically have your own, but you still have that love to give to an adopted child. They will love you more than anything. And then there's biological women who give birth to their own children and love them more than life itself. There's other women who give birth to their own biological child and aren't meant to be mothers, and they fucking discard the kid. This has nothing to do with the value of you and not being enough. And there's nothing you could have done because you were not put in the hands of a mother. Don't question yourself ever about it. Truly. I want to say that from the bottom of my heart is don't ever fucking question it. The only people who can truly help you through that are other people who have experienced the same thing. So put it in the comments, comment. And anybody who relates to this girl's story, talk with her. If you have the same kind of experience, be there for each other, talk to each other. Because I can give advice, but I can't give that sense of connection to somebody who can relate. So if you meet a friend out of this, great. If you meet other people in the comments who relate to this and can kind of hold your hand with it, of like all the kids who like didn't have mothers and y'all just holding hands together, y'all friends, like I feel like that could be healing. So I kind of want to put that together for you. So put it in the comments. But your soul did choose this. Your soul chooses the parents that you come into. So it's for a reason. So why? That's kind of how you got to look at it. That's the only thing that's helped me with certain things like that. It's like my sexuality. Okay, my soul chose it. Okay, why? And you just got to kind of go into that route of acceptance. This one's funny. What's your go-to order at a Mexican restaurant? Okay, I'll tell you. I get the fajitas for two, but I don't make it into a fajita. I just eat the meat and the peppers off the plate. And then I'll eat a little bit like the rice. Keep it like lean. I don't eat the tortillas. I don't do the whole fucking roll it up myself. No, I just eat the meat and the vegetables. And then I eat the rice. That's it. With Diet Coke. If I'm drinking, margarita on the rocks. I don't like that frozen shit. With a nice tequila. Treat yourself. I don't do no cheap shit. Also a guacamole with a chip at the start and a little salsa. Yeah, that's what I get at a Mexican restaurant. Okay, next person asked a really good question. What currently grounds you from a realistic perspective? Feeling caught up and overwhelmed with the world. Hard to stay focused when everything is throwing politics and opinions and bullshit in your face. What keeps you sane and grounded? Or are you freaking out sometimes too? We're all losing our mind, huh? I've educated myself. People try to make fun of me in certain episodes where I was talking about politics because I never got into politics. I never liked it. I never understood it. I never gave a fuck. And I've spoken about certain things. And then people try to like get mad at certain things that I would say. And so I educated myself and I've been educating myself for the past 6 months. Disgusting. I'm glad I looked into it. But the hopelessness you feel when you realize the corruption going on, much less the Epstein files and how everything's run by fucking pedophiles. I think every single one of them should eat a bullet. I have zero tolerance for people taking advantage, abusing, harming, sexualizing children in any kind of fucking way. And the saddest thing that's been eating me up is I really think pedophilia is the norm. This makes me furious. Every single woman in my life, friends who I've been friends with in the past, people I'm no longer friends with, people I've been friends with forever, people I've met recently. Every single woman in my life has some kind of interaction or story about being molested at a young age. This pedophilia shit is so much more common than you think. Everything to do with the Epstein files makes me want to throw up. It makes me want to light the world on fire. I don't understand how God has not intervened at this point. Take away free will. Because if you see what people have done with it, gas all of us. I can't even imagine how disgusted God is with everybody. Oh, I gave you free will. This is what you do with it. You harm children. I don't know how the world is still rotating on its axis. I want to flip it. Like if I was God himself, I would chuck it into a black hole. Like everything's tarnished. There's so much good left in the world, but it's so hard to see. And I get that. I'm like kind of venting out my own frustrations with everything, but I see everything going on too. I'm disgusted by it. I cannot stand the amount of corruption going on. I can't stand the bullshit with Israel. And it's kind of like the more you see, the more you just realize like there's no hope. And that's something I've been struggling with. But with social media and how we're all getting information now, it's like all constant, all the time, more and more and more. And it all just unfolds. And all the conspiracy theories are no longer conspiracy theories. They're fucking proved. And people not getting prosecuted. People like Pam Bondi's stupid ass. And Kash Patel, head of the FBI. Don't even know where he's looking half the time. These people, the cover-ups, the everything, it makes me furious. I don't like to talk about it because a lot of people aren't aware of it yet. A lot of people are kind of like, one, they're in on it trying to paint this certain narrative. But two, people can't face the reality of how corrupted everything is. But that hopelessness that we're all kind of sharing right now, I get it. I share it with you in a way, but the way that I kind of ground myself through it all is every day it's more catastrophe. Every day it's more this, it's more that. Stop looking at it. I feel like things have gotten too out of control that the people trying to keep us under this certain veil and keep the veil shut, it's like they understand that it's opening. So much is just getting pumped at us to keep us confused, distracted, depressed, off track, and just deteriorate us. So we have no urge to resist or fight or call shit out. The way I've been kind of dealing with it is most of it is fake propaganda bullshit. I don't get involved in the fights. Because there's nothing like really like all these little fights that keep coming about. All these fights about stupid things. Everything's just arguing. Everybody's just arguing, fighting for no reason. Nothing's getting changed. Nothing's getting done. People ain't getting prosecuted. What are we doing? We're going to sit here and keep gassing ourselves out, just fighting each other for no reason. That's how I look at social media. So I just turn it off. When I went to the woods for a couple days, I didn't play on my phone. And I felt so at peace because I could sit with myself. I could hear myself. And I could kind of see things like for myself again. And it's like, I wasn't constantly bombarded with all this crap and all this information. It's like, you don't know what's real. AI has gotten so bad. And if you watch anyone who's been talking about all of the corruption going on, Candace Owens is my favorite person to keep up with all this shit going on. If you're really seeing what's going on, there's no more political parties. Everybody's stupid. If you still think there is one, there's no right versus left, no more. Both sides are beyond fucked up at the top. It's like everybody that's like normal people in civilization. It doesn't matter who's Republican, who's Democrat, who's voted in, who's voted out. The same motherfuckers behind the scenes are still pulling the strings. So there's nothing you could do. But that hopelessness, it's just kind of like, okay, the world's burning, literally. Like the world is done. It's so beyond corrupted. It's like, okay, so what are we going to do? I've done the whole thing like freak out. What do we do? Okay. I'm going to live it out. Have fun. See what I could do with this life. You know what I mean? It's like try and focus on the good as much as you can. If you get overstimulated, turn off the phone. Stop looking at the shit. You control that. You control your focus. That's all we have that people can't control. And everything has been real good at trying to control that. So if you can control your focus, you can kind of set yourself free from a lot of the stress that is unnecessary is what I've learned through all this. So I educate myself when I want to seek it out, but I don't allow my phone to just show me things. Like if I want to watch something, I choose to turn it on and I can choose to turn it off. That's why I don't do much TikTok scrolling and Instagram scrolling. It's like, if I watch a YouTube video, it's because I picked it. I'm not having an algorithm feed me shit because it plays on your brain so much more than you realize. And nobody that makes any of these devices and these apps uses them. Why? So that's really it. That's how I kind of stay like sane and grounded. I'm still doing my things. I'm not allowing everything going on to halt my actions. It's like with my pop-up store. There's so many people who are freaking out about all this and this and that. And it's like, okay, I'm not going to cancel my pop-up store. I had the thought about it, but I'm like, why? I was going to cancel my sunglasses launch. Why? That's what the distraction is meant to do, is to throw you off course and to fuck you up. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep going with what I'm doing. And until I get to a point where I can't do it anymore, or it's not working, or it's not successful, then I'll decide to stop going down this path. But I'm not letting anything that I'm consuming or seeing play with my actions. It's like my goals I have are still my goals. I'm doing them. Working tomorrow, going to the gym, doing my thing. Hey, it's really all you can do is just focus on day to day, your goals that you got, what makes you happy, your friends, your family, spend time with them. Because genuinely, you don't know what country is going to get pissed off and then send an atomic bomb and everybody's dead. You know, it's a matter of time. And I wish God would do it sooner. Because like I said, if you can't get all this corruption out, just restart. Throw the motherfucking earth into a black hole and just erase all of it. I feel bad to say it, but it's like, if I was God, I would have done it 20 years ago. Like the way that this has gone, the abuse of free will that people have used, no. Too far gone for me. I would blow it all up. But really, nothing is what you think it is. And this is the time more than ever to pay attention to your intuition. If you feel like you should stop watching certain people or stop using certain apps, do it. Stop watching certain things. Protect your mind. Pay attention to what you're watching and how you're feeling when you're watching it. A lot of shit is not what you think it is. So it's an attack on our minds. Face it and realize what it is. And she was different because even with the pastors and the priests and like the military and the CIA and the FBI, it's like everything's corrupt. And there was a little bit of resentment that I have when I talked about all the things in the past, how I talked about with my ex and how we abused the system and paid certain things to happen. And everybody said I was lying and I was this and I was that. People who have experienced the corruption in the system that goes down even to the smaller branches of it and smaller parts of like court. That's something you don't understand until you experience it. So people that attacked the fuck out of me and said I was lying all these years, much less all these victims who have come forward years and years and years ago about all this ritualistic abuse and all this crazy shit that was going on, and people wrote them off as liars. Now you see, everybody sees it was the truth. So all these people who got attacked, I don't even want to use myself. It's like all the people who came out with like really bad stories got attacked because people were too scared to face the potential of how unsafe we all feel now, because everybody's going nuts because no one feels safe. When you experience corruption in the government or court or with cops, let's take it to a small scale. When you experience that, you lose your sense of safety. You realize you're really on your own and nothing's fair. There's nothing governing fairness. So you got to take things into your own hands. People who have not had that experience, for me to tell my story and for other people to tell their stories about how no one saved them and everything is corrupt, you're facing them with destroying their sense of safety in the world. But it was able to be fought off long enough. Now it's so blatant. None of us are safe in this world. Corruption runs everything. So I think that's another like overarching like ghast of panic that everybody's feeling and seeing, and people acting fucking nuts, is because everyone is realizing there is zero safety. People like me who have experienced it a long time ago have already come to terms with this. And it's like, I can kind of handle it and manage it a little bit better, but it still sucks for everybody because there are certain things I didn't even realize were as fucked up as they are. So like everybody's going through a crazy period of like unsafety and their sense of being okay and their sense of hope. No one has hope really anymore. Everything's just kind of gone to shit. So it's easy to fall into that. That is the truth though. But that's what's sad, because sometimes I'm like, no, I'm being pessimistic. No, that's the truth. That is the truth of what is going on in this life right now for all of us. So it's not that you're being pessimistic. Be realistic. Okay, we got to face that. But what can we still also do? If this is the truth, my life is affected, but how can I still have my life be enjoyable and what I want it to be, is what I'm trying to focus on. You know, you can't ignore it. You can't just be blind to it. And be, oh, you're being pessimistic. No, I'm being realistic. You know, you got to face it. But I'm just focused on how I can make my life as enjoyable as possible and still achieve some of my goals and spend time with people who are meaningful to me. I'm kind of like living every day like this is it. So that's a weird grounding thing for me. Choosing not to look at any more bullshit than I need to. Seek out the information when I want it. And when I'm overstimulated, shut it off. You know, come back to my stuff. Have a secret. I think that's it. Comment a little bird emoji if you made it this far in the episode. Like a little chick. Like the little egg with the chick coming out of it. That emoji. I don't know why that just popped in my head. Do me the little egg with the chick if you made it this far in the episode. I forgot to do one of these last week. But I think because my pop-up is next weekend, before I leave to go to Houston, I'm going to record another What Would Leo Do? So I saw that I put the link in the description. It didn't work. So I put it on my story on Instagram today, and that's how I got all these submissions. But I'm going to fix the link in the description because I'm going to do another What Would Leo Do in a couple days before I leave. So if you want to send more stuff in, we'll have another episode like this because this is fun. Yeah, I'll put the link down there. Also, I'll put all the details for the pop-up store if you would like to come. And that's it, I feel like we had a nice talk, nice hangout session. We covered a lot. Love you all so bad. Everybody be safe. Take care of yourself. And I'll talk to you guys next Sunday. And some of you, I'll see you at the pop-up soon.